I'm going to set it up a little bit. This is the first part of Exodus, and it's the story of Shiphrah and Puah. But just to set it up a little bit, a new king or a new pharaoh has come into being in Egypt, and he does not know the Hebrew people. And so he decides, partly because he's fearful of them, that he's going to try to kill all the children. And so we hear, this is where Joan comes in with the story.
This is from Exodus 1. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. And they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and allowed the boys to live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives come to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all of his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And of course, without Shiphrah and Puah, we wouldn't have Moses, right? We have to remember that. They really were the ones who helped save Moses. You have any birth stories? Cindy and I were talking a little bit about birth and how our children, some of our kids were born. Our first one, Ben, was born in a little small hospital. And the doctor, unbeknownst to us, had an alcohol problem. And he had lost his surgery license. He didn't tell us that he'd lost his surgeon license. And so as Ben was in the birth canal too long, they should have taken him cesarean, but there was no surgeon. And so he took the, he helped him get out with the forceps. Yes, thank you. Painful for me to even remember all this because Ben was 22 inches when he was born. And we thought, wow, this kid's going to be big. Well, the reason he was so big was because his head was in the birth canal so long, it looked like a football. So about 3 days after he was born, he went back to 20 inches because his head went back to shape. And we thought he was going to be permanently damaged in his brain, and he probably should have. But Ben ended up being very intelligent, so maybe it helped him, I don't know. And then Cassie, whose birthday was just recently, happy birthday, Cassie. Please tell her afterwards, she loves to get attention. So Cassie, she was born in the town of Yankton, South Dakota, and we're very excited about the place because they had a birthing chair, and we were excited about this birthing chair. But the doctor, again, didn't really know us very well, and hadn't got a chance to meet him very often. And when we got there to the doctor's office, he was gone, so some other doctor did the birth. And he had an intern with him. And I remember hearing the intern, him turn to the intern and say, hey, it's your turn to, you catch this one, right? You catch this one. And he said, well, I've never done this. How do you catch a baby? And he said, it's just like catching a football. And I thought, oh, boy. But I even think about that. The doctor said, it's just catch it like a football. Catch it, right? I mean, there was kind of a dehumanization about the process back then. And I know, Brad, we've talked about this a little bit, sometimes the system takes away the humanization of this process of who we are. And I was thinking about that because those experiences with doctors weren't great. And I was thinking about midwives. And I have a good friend who is a midwife, Teresa. And I called her up and I asked her just a little bit about what made midwifery, or just what was it all about. And she talked to me quite a bit the other day. And she said, first of all, midwife means with women. The approach right away for a midwife is to be with the woman and understand them. And she said things like, it's supportive care for that woman giving birth. It's all about listening first. It's all about honoring that person in the process. It's all about being an advocate for them, for helping them see their own power in their birthing process. And then she said something that just stuck with me. We as midwives are guardians of the birth process. We are guardians of birth. And I just love that thought. We are guardians of the birth process. And I want you to think about this in your own life. This is a great image for what Christians ought to be, what the church ought to be. We ought to be guardians of people who are transitioning or are having a transformation. People are always transforming. Some of us are dying, but others of us are often birthing into something new. No matter what age we are, no matter what circumstance we're going through, all of us are transitioning and we're transforming. How can we be guardians for people in that process? I just think that's a great life mission for a church or for you as a person. And think about Shifra and Puah. They do everything they can to protect their women that they are serving so that they can have birth. They even go to the extent as going against the most powerful person in the world, the Pharaoh. Because their job is not to protect the Pharaoh, but their job is to protect that woman who's giving birth and to help them give birth. You know, sometimes we struggle as Christians being against power, but Shifra and Puah, they were against power. And they give us an example of how we can too be against the powers that are taking away life in this world. By the way, just a side note, the book of Exodus, my understanding from the Jewish faith that it's called the book of names because they name a lot of, am I right here? I think I'm right. The book of names because they name so many people in this book. But guess who isn't named? Shifra and Puah are named because they give life. But that Pharaoh, we never get his name, you know? He's not named because he does not give life. He doesn't give life. I think it's interesting that the people who are given names are those who are birthing, helping people birth and give life to others. So I happened to visit this week Marge and Ted, and I love visiting these guys because they're such life givers. They're midwives, you know. They help birth life, and they were talking about the McAlpines. Is that who are coming? They were in their youth group when they were doing youth, and they're coming back just to see Ted and Marge. They know Ted's situation, and they're coming to visit. And why would they come back? You know, why would you come back and be with Ted and Marge in this difficult time of their lives? Well, it's because they want to give thanks to Ted and Marge for helping them birth into the Christian faith. Now, helping them to see their life not as a dead end, but something that they can give others, right? And I think if you know Ted and Marge, that's who they are, right? They are midwives. And they're, sorry, Ted, you're a midwife. But they really are. And there is a power just by being there with them, in their presence. Cindy, my wife, my spouse, she was at a workshop the other day, and they had a keynote speaker. And the keynote speaker was talking about and asked the folks in the room the question, who are the five voices in your life? And I want you to think about this. Who are the five voices in your life? The most important voices. And she went on to say that however they are, whatever their attitudes are, let's say they've got a positive attitude and you've got one who's just real great spirit, you know, like a midwife and really helping you be born. But you got two others in your life that are negative and they draw and they drain, right? She said, you're only ever going to be in the middle of that. You're going to be the average. That's just who you are, right? I mean, so basically what she's saying is, who do you give voice to? Who do you empower to have voice in your life? And I guess my question might be also, what kind of a voice are you? Do your words birth new life in others? Do your words encourage others when they're down? Or are you somebody who brings others down? I was in a choir once, not this one. Bear Creek's got a great choir, but I was in a choir one time. And we had an alto in that choir. And she never, ever could say anything good about the piece we were doing. You know, she just, even before we sang it, she got down on it and she would make fun of the words or she would grumble about the sopranos having a better part than she did. I mean, it was always something like this. And let me tell you, it was hard to go to that choir every Wednesday night or Tuesday night because it took so much work to try to be a person of birth, right? To be a midwife in the midst of that. I want you to think about it. Where are you at your best? Where do you do your best midwife work? And where are you like that woman, that alto in that choir? It's so interesting, Cindy and I were talking about it recently, that oftentimes for us, we give our best shot everywhere but the home. We give our best shot out when I'm at the church. You know, I'm Mr. Positive out in the church. Or I'm Cindy's amazing. I listen to her on the phone when she's doing supervision of some of the people she works with. And she's so positive. But sometimes when we come back home, I don't know, we just don't have to put the patina on. I don't know what it is. But we tend not to do that. We don't do that kind of work anymore. We just kind of, I don't know, unplug. And we stop being that life force of love and that birthing person. And so I just invite you to think about that. Do you have people in your life that you are helping being birthed? And the other thing I want to just share just a moment is, if you are going through a transitional time in your life, if you're trying to move from one dead snake skin and trying to skin it and take it off and have another one, right? If you're trying to put on new wineskins, you've got to be careful who the people are around you. They need to be midwives, right? They need to be people who are going to support you. We as a church need to be that kind of church. We need to tie into and kind of get in touch with our inner Shifra and Pua so that we can be these kind of people in the world. Because let me tell you, there's pharaohs out there, right? There are forces in this world that are trying to take life away. And we need to be the guardians of all those who are most vulnerable. And all the people said,